Blog Talk Radio.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Self-explanatory, backlash, and a wrestling weekend in review. Now, while I'm pulling up the card for Backlash, because I did see it last night, it was just about the length of Monday Night Raw, but that's not the point. So I'm going to pause 10 seconds for station identification while we get things in order, folks.
Stop your face and be annoying. All you wanna do with me is fight, 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 fight. All you ever do is make excuses, got you boring. All you wanna do with me is fight, 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 fight. With everything you got inside, you still won't find the courage. Take your tail between your legs and go.
Oh, you're just a man of straw. You think you...
Alright, folks, so I have here in front of me the card of Backlash. Now, there were very few matches, very far in between. Okay, well, let's see here. Bayley versus Ruby Riott in the kickoff show. Now, Bayley held her own for the most part, but the numbers game was proving to be too much. Ruby Riott with the Riott kick. 1, 2, 3. You saw Sasha watching in the back, just watching Bayley get destroyed. It wasn't that bad. I mean, if you think about it, Ruby Riott's the better of the competitors. And I said that, not to take away from Bayley, but there's some moments where she's not aggressive enough in the match. Therefore, Ruby Riott, you know, she also had help, outside help from Sarah Logan. Sarah Logan. I'm sorry, I had to make fun of her accent. Okay, so the kickoff show match was, you know, okay. Braun Strowman, Lashley versus Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Can you say semi-squash match? I mean, Zayn and Owens tried to take out Lashley, did not succeed in doing that. They should have isolated them more. But if you really want to take a good look, the very first match, the curtain jerk, was Seth Rollins and The Miz. Oh, man, who gave me this? Now I'm starting to recall why I don't like technical difficulties. Okay, so here's the thing, folks. The curtain jerk match, you saw basically Seth Rollins taking on The Miz. It was a very good back and forth match. The Miz tried and attempted the figure four leg lock because Rollins at one point got on the top of the, you know, post, got kicked down, his knee hit the post, didn't quite fold well for Seth Rollins. Trying to get through this without falling asleep. I have a monster in front of me. All right. Jeez. Okay, the Miz to Roz rebuffs. That's funny. You guys send me this. Sasha Banks and Bayley. Okay, so this one goes from the beginning, folks. Yes, Ruby Riott defeats Bayley. I like this one better. Thank you, John. Thank you so much. Ruby Riott defeats Bayley, yes, in the kickoff show. The Intercontinental Championship, which I want to touch base with. That match actually piqued interest. Do you know why, folks? Because that match, despite people bitching about Backlash, despite them saying, you know, I'll never watch it again, well, you know what? You guys so watch anything that comes on your TV, because that's me too. I say I'm not going to watch it. You know, if this happens, then I end up watching it anyways. What does this have to do with anything? Okay, well, the first match completely made me think, all right, maybe I should give Backlash a chance. Seth Rollins and The Miz. Good match. And that's very rare for me to fucking say, because a lot of critics will say, well, I don't like this match, I don't like that match. I'm one of those that if you entertain me and you tell a story from beginning to end and I know who the heel and the babyface are, I'm going to be a happy camper. But if you sit there and play tiddlywinks and give us a match, like here, let me scroll down here, folks. Give me 1 second. The Raw Women's Championship match. As if you guys expected any different, Nia Jax versus Alexa Bliss. Bliss, you know, she got completely owned in the match. As if that surprises any of you. They at least gave the fans a show. That's all you can do as a competitor, as a worker, is give the fans a show. And that's what Nia and Alexa did. Nia hit a Samoan drop. Kept trying to go to the top, because Alexa Bliss is a very hard person to pin down for 5'8" stature. 5'8". 5'0" stature. Who put that on the sheet? Unless Alexa grew 8 inches, man. That is kind of funny, though. Imagine Alexa Bliss on platform heels. Yes, you guys are very fucking funny. I love you. All right, folks. So, I can't keep it charged, man. I got to keep on the screen, too. Anyways. Then you see a promo between Samoa Joe and Roman Reigns. Okay, and then the United States Championship was right after the women's title match. Jeff Hardy retained against Randy Orton. I mean, there's very little build for this match, so you got to give those two credit. They did what they could with it. Elias then comes out and gets blasted. You know, there's small points where the show had its shining moments, even though the pay-per-view was kind of a tweener for me. I didn't like some of the results. But, you know, like I said, I'm not the booker, and I certainly am not in position to say, well, if it were booked this way, although you know how this goes. I could have told you in the next match that this was coming. Big Cass against Daniel Bryan. There's not enough problems with Big Cass and where they place him and how they book him. It's the fact that, yeah, it's the typical David versus Goliath gimmick match, you know, gimmick match, let me rephrase that, where Daniel Bryan keeps getting attacked by big old Big Cass, and Cass runs his mouth, and how you're supposed to be my garbage man and all this. Got the fans all riled up. He did his job. Overall, the match from start to finish, it really wasn't that appealing. I'll just come out and say it. It really, Daniel Bryan, we all know, is the better technical sound wrestler, even though at his height, according to Big Cass, he's supposed to be his garbage man. I just don't understand how a world that produces such garbage can be bad. Kind of the other version of Little Mermaid, folks. Copyrights included. Anyways, about that match, really didn't like it, didn't care, because I know in the heart of all hearts that Daniel Bryan was going to be victorious. And Big Cass, without, and I hate to say this, Big Cass without Enzo or any supporting cast isn't quite the greatest dude. Now, maybe if he aligned himself with The Miz, or maybe if he aligned himself with anybody, they could actually work with him, give him some breathing room. But this match at Backlash, just from a fan's perspective, wasn't all that grandiose. It was just a showcase of, okay, I'm going to give this feud a look, and then after the match, sore loser Cass, you know, throwing Daniel Bryan all over the joint, okay, to make him look big again. I don't understand that, but okay. You want an honest opinion on what I think of Big Cass? I think he's a good guy. I just think that they're, you know, they're trying to figure out where he fits. Next, you have the Women's Championship, Carmella versus Charlotte Flair. Oh, man, I don't know on that one. It looked like something got changed up. It, you know, the way Charlotte landed on her leg, and most of you are going to tell me, oh, that's a work. Most of wrestling is a work, ladies and germs. But that looks like a legit, you know, she tweaked it. I do not know the extent of her injury, sir. All I am is a podcast, so it's a broadcast journalist. So if you'd like to email any questions to wrestle_radio, like there have been several, go to wrestle_radio on Instagram or btrain05000 at it. That championship match between Carmella and Charlotte, I don't know whether to laugh, cry, or feel indifferent, because I really honestly felt like it lagged a little bit, had some good heat moments for Carmella. You got to give Carmella credit. She saw that Charlotte was hurting. She rolled her up for a three and, you know, took it home and did her thing. Most people thought Carmella wasn't going to last long as champion. Well, come to find out, she's kind of proven her worth, guys. I mean, I've taken a look at Carmella like this. No one ever expects her to do anything. I kind of do, because that's just how I am. I look at people and say, well, Carmella is this. Maybe if they give her room to work, then maybe she can do something. I've always been an optimist, man. That's always been my MO. It's how I work and operate. And yes, I am a cynic, and I criticize, but this match between Carmella and Charlotte had its moments. It wasn't that great. The match that I'm really not happy with was Shinsuke Nakamura versus AJ Styles, simply because when you have almost parallel booking of WrestleMania and the outcome between Shinsuke and AJ, I'm just going to tell you right now, if you're going to dangle the carrot in front of the fans' faces and then say, nope, fuck you, what in the hell are you trying to accomplish? If you're not buying into what the fans are wanting, you don't have to give us every time like a spoiled rotten child. But point, having Shinsuke Nakamura lose to Jinder Mahal and having lose twice, once at Mania and once at a subletter pay-per-view like Backlash, a lot of question marks, man. I don't know if you're building it to where he's going to win at Survivor Series, maybe. I don't know. Like I said, I don't do the fucking booking, but I'm curious to know. And that, I guess, it's, you know, like I said, it's none of my business. I'm not in the back, and I don't intend to be a booker or a promoter, maybe someday, one day. But that whole thing with the double low blow, like, is that supposed to be what us fans are supposed to be accustomed to, is a fucking screw job of the brain? I mean, come on. AJ is a great competitor. There's nothing to take away from him. And same goes for Nakamura. I'm just, at a loss for words how bad Backlash was. In some areas. In other areas, I understand why. And by some areas, I mean booking, the way things were planned out. It all makes sense. Said no one ever. How are fans supposed to react if we are not understanding how you're building things? We're not supposed to figure out and be puzzlement, you know, putting the pieces of a 1,000-piece puzzle together. But it seems like Backlash last night, I don't understand what the whole deal of feeding Samoa Joe to Roman Reigns is. It's just as bad as when you insist upon a certain individual, and I'm not going to go off on a rant about John Cena, but there are certain points in each company where it has its peaks and its valleys, and by God, man, this is one of those moments where I'm straight up reviewing a WWE pay-per-view, and I've neglected to mention my weekend in Iowa, which I will get to in a minute. I went to Wrestling Revolver in Des Moines, Iowa. It was a lot of fun. I went to Zombie Burgers and all that. I know you guys want me to straight up, you know, bash Backlash, but that's not... Look, I understand, you know, I'm getting a question here saying, well, why don't you just bash it entirely? Because, like I said, there's certain areas where I question, why in the fuck did you book it this way? Is it to make us buzz about it? Because if so, you guys are doing a phenomenal job at perplexing the fans as to what we're supposed to think of your fucking pay-per-view. Like, how in the fuck, man? You give the fans Roman Reigns versus Samoa Joe with no title around Roman Reigns' waist so that Samoa Joe could take it. That's just, again, that's personal imposition of opinion. But here's the thing. When you watch Monday Night Raw tonight, if Raw is better than the pay-per-view, then fans are just going to be like, well, I'll just tune into the Raw afterwards because they give the results on the network. You guys need to quit doing that. I saw 3 hours of TV, including the panel, at the beginning of Backlash. My whole take on the matter is this. If you must know how good old Beach felt about Backlash last night, I feel bad for the fans in New Jersey. They paid their good hard-earned money. They saw... Some of them saw what they wanted to see, but if you constantly keep putting roadblocks in front of your company, then it doesn't matter who goes over and why they go over. It's our asses being put in the seats for the right, correct reasons. No one comes to see Roman Reigns. You heard the chant that the crowd was chanting earlier, right? Joe's gonna kill you. I haven't heard that since his days before NXT. You know, he's been through Japan. The man has been through a lot. He's obviously a smart man to stick with the company and then say, okay, well, here's how this is going to work. And the reason why, folks, I'm not going in depth about what happened in the match. Okay, so you have Roman in a coquina clutch. Joe had Roman in a coquina clutch. I know it's gimmicked, you know, I know that this stuff, they go over in the back and then they go outside and they, you know, they plan accordingly or they plan accordingly in the back so that it looks like a show when they go out from Gorilla. But I guess the positives that I can derive from this all is maybe they're building it to a bigger and badder place. Maybe they're saving Joe winning a championship at another pay-per-view. I always keep that in the back of my mind. What will be the payoff? And if there is no payoff, okay, then try and be just a fan and not from a worker's perspective. It's really fucking hard. It really is because take a gander at the fucking show Backlash last night. You know how many people crammed in? 14,000. That's a lot of people to come in and see a shit show. And by, you know, being honest to a T, to a fault, and trying to be optimistic as fucking possible in this shit fest, NXT, I hate to say, actually I love to say this, is the one bright spot for WWE currently speaking. SmackDown Live, current bright spot, currently speaking, because, I mean, this is like going back to 1996, when WWE was on the cusp of trying something new called Attitude. The notice qualification match, instead of, you know, there were chairs involved, there was the barricade between Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ Styles. The women's matches, of course, they always do amazing. They slay everything. They do really, really good. I'm just disappointed in the pay-per-view all over, because if you say it's good, you're seeing it from, okay, what are they building towards? How are they going to build? I'm seeing it from here in just the now. The bigger picture is fill in the blank, because Backlash was fucking fill in the blank. It was terrible. It was terrible, just as much as, you know, WrestleMania 34 only had two good quality matches that came on the fucking show, and that was the Battle Royal where Bray Wyatt returned and helped out Matt Hardy, the Andre the Giant Battle Royal Memorial. And then you had the women's first ever Battle Royal at WrestleMania 34. There were good, I mean, the Asuka versus Charlotte, that, okay, three, I lied. Those matches elicited some emotion when you actually sat there and watched it. I just can't stand the fact that during Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, people were playing with beach balls because they were uninterested in the match. If you heard the crowd last night, I don't know if they bleeped them out, this is boring. Yes, because the East Coast crowds can be very tough when it comes to judging talent, man. Everyone pretends to be a booker. Everyone pretends to be a promoter. I just, you know, give the objective from both viewpoints. If you really wanted to succeed in getting the fans intrigued in your shit, then here is what people suggest or throw out there. Samoa Joe should not be subjected to losing to Roman Reigns. And I don't care who fucking goes over, but I'm just going to impose this opinion. When you have a guy that's been around as long as Samoa Joe has and has expertise in this business and has cut his teeth in this business, and you all are going to sit there and, you know, say on my, you know, Wrestle Radio here that they're building it towards something bigger, then I, you know, must be missing the picture, bigger picture, because I don't quite understand why Samoa Joe has not won a title yet in WWE. I don't understand. AJ Styles, it didn't take him a full year to win the fucking title. He came in about 6-7 months, he won the World Heavyweight Championship. So in other words, they get a name, WWE gets a name, and then they do it, you know, do what you will accordingly. I'm not understanding what the fuck is going on with the whole Samoa Joe thing. I honestly don't know what it is. Is he saying something on social media? Is he doing something wrong that I'm not aware of, or we're not aware of? He's one of my favorite guys from TNA, not just from TNA, but from Japan. And oh, man, I can just tell you right now, if NXT is the supposed torch carrier for WWE and making it a successful business again, it's going to be heir apparent because it's the top rated on the network. It gets a lot of hit on the network, a lot of downloads. And not only that, NXT TakeOver compared to last night's Backlash, any NXT TakeOver probably could have trounced Backlash. They should have done they could have done, they would have, but they're not going to. And I understand that. But I'm not really happy with Backlash because it was a co-branded pay-per-view. It was hard to stay awake through most of it. I really don't know what to assess other than I will go and watch your guys' shows as a fan. I will hire to be a part of the company one day, but I will try and keep an optimistic point of view as well. I just want to throw out suggestions because it's what a fan does. And I don't understand how you can go from really building up steam to having a pay-per-view that just stops us in our tracks and goes, and we all collectively go, the fuck? It makes you scratch your head. Because if you bought tickets to that monstrosity, I didn't. But I hope Money in the Bank is not crap because, number one, I mean, if you really want to reach the fans, you've got to relate, find a way to relate to them, not go off of what you think is best for numbers and for morale. Did you know the fans with the IQ of 12 will be dumb enough to fucking come through and be like, oh, well, this is how I feel. I think so-and-so, or I think Roman Reigns rules, or I think, you know. I don't know how fans with IQ of 12 talk, but I actually, yes, I do. You know who you are. The fans that sit there and believe everything is real, and nothing is gimmicked, and nobody is kayfabing and all this bullshit. What I'm getting at is the fans with the IQ of 12 are going to be the ones that sit there and say, well, I like what they're doing. I think it's great. You can say you don't like something, but it's how you present it, man. I'm not saying you can't say you like something. I'm just saying I didn't like it. And others, even my friend who watched it with Knight said, what a bust. What a waste. We didn't even watch the post show. Usually the post show shows something that you don't see or will catch on national broadcast. But I didn't even feel like watching the post show because it was that terrible. I mean, if you're starting to feel... I mean, there's an open door policy for WWE, but it's retarded. It is retarded to say that you can't have an opinion. And I'm telling you right now, man, if you really want to call my show, go right ahead. It's 213-943-3422. It's toll-free. Oh, that segues into the advertisements. You know, there's only 15 minutes left in the show, right? MonsterFactory.org. Sign up for the camp. If you went to the camp for the prior dates, April 20th and 21st, you can go for free. That's if you only signed up for the camp during that time. All right, folks. MonsterFactory.org. Sign up for limited time only, $500 payment. Contact Danny Cage for more information. MonsterFactory.org. Get on the computer or the tablet and hurry the fuck up and sign up for MonsterFactory.org. Do it, folks. I've been there. I can actually say I have been there. I have picture proof. Picture and proof is in the pudding. Although, where's the pudding? All right, MonsterFactory.org. Monster Factory Network is coming back soon. That does it for the advertisements. Oh, and by the way, if you want to get a WWE Network subscription, you can do so. Your first month free, you get Backlash and much more. Get a preloaded card of $29.97 at your local Best Buy, Dollar General, 7-Elevens, Walmarts, and GameStops. That does it for the advertisements. All right, folks. Time to journey into the world of B-Train's mind. Enter with caution if you dare.
Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cost of something.
This is the point of the show where I go off tangent, start ranting, and all this. It is the point when I bring up valid points from a fan's perspective, not a worker's perspective. But I can tell you about exactly what I felt last night about Backlash. But briefly, folks, briefly for about a good 5 minutes. Wrestling Revolver, Sammy Callahan's deal at the Avalon or Avail Ballroom. That show, Penta Does Iowa, was fucking amazing. I bumped into Ronnie Nicole. Love her to death. I got to finally get an autograph from Jesse Havoc. Love you. You're one of my favorites. I got a picture with Tommy Dreamer, a childhood favorite of mine. Did I say childhood? Because I grew up watching ECW. Overall, you know, that event, Penta Does Iowa, was amazing. Jake and Dave Crist. I guess they're part of Faction, so is Larry. This dude named Larry, who is way over in Des Moines. Biggest surprise of all, folks, was seeing Rich Swann, and he and I chatted for a bit. Very nice guy. Despite what you may have read or heard or seen, this dude is amazing. And I highly suggest WWE, you know, you can reconsider having him back. And you know this, and I know this. And, you know, if the time will allow it, you know, he might be back, just not now. He did win the Scramble Championship. I guess he took it off of Palmer, but that's a different story. Overall, I thought Penta's match was pretty cool. Dude he was in the ring wrestling with kind of reminded me of Ace Ventura because of the pink tutu. I don't know what gimmick he's going after, but all I gotta say is I had fun. That's all you're supposed to have as a fan. I had me some beers. I had a 2-hour drive because I didn't want to fly into Iowa's airport. Trust me, I didn't want to do that. I've been through lots of airports, and trust me, driving was a little bit more therapeutic this time around. For Wrestling Revolver, I bought me an Eli Drake shirt. He kind of reminds me of Chris Masters for some reason. I don't know why. Matt Sydal was there with his Impact Championship belt. He was also involved in the Scramble match. Matt Palmer, yeah. So he had a lot of events and psycho babble for me to relay to you. Not a lot of events and psycho babble, you jackass. God bless it, man. This is the last time I read from the paper with you. Anyways, folks, that pretty much sums up my weekend in Iowa. I had a good time. Very awesome show. There's a tag team scramble match as well. There's a hardcore match with Tommy Dreamer and Jacob the Man in Moscow. Taya, Lucha Underground Royalty versus Jessica Havoc, the Death Machine. I thought it was a very good match. Oh, my goodness. Love Taya. She's amazing. All right, that really does it for the review of Wrestling Revolver. Now to have fun for the last 9 minutes. I'm not going to roast Backlash too bad, guys, although I do have some questions. Why is there always a constant recycled feeling that I get when I watch WWE? When Samoa Joe came off of injury, he gets thrown into the fire, which, you know, he doesn't mind. But it irritates me that when Samoa Joe comes back, there's no builds whatsoever, and he gets automatically thrown with Roman. Okay, no problem there. But what is the payoff when he faces Roman and it's not for a title? I guess it's just a singles match to see which competitor has the edge over one another. Like, I'm not understanding. I seriously am not. Can you just tell me what was the point of having Backlash as a co-branded show? It would have been much better off if you just did it separate, a separate brand. I guess they wanted to co-brand it because they got to build it for Survivor Series. I'm not sure. I mean, I really, at this point, I don't know why. Why wasn't that for a title? The referee made the fucking wrong decision. They gimmicked it on Twitter. They made an angle about it. That still doesn't negate the fact that fans are going to talk about this in a negative way. The fans who actually understand what you guys are doing with Samoa Joe, with Roman Reigns, and with, I hate saying this, the Universal Champion Brock Lesnar. Yeah, we started talking about it. There are those of us who you would consider smarks because we actually will pay attention to it, use terminology, and annoy the fuck out of you by going to our message boards or going to our whatever on social media or going to our blog talk podcast and bitching about it like a little girl. I, on the other hand, like to bitch about it like this. Using logic, what was the fucking point of having Lesnar hold the title just because you reworked his contract because he's making more money? So in other words, I'm going to hate using this analogy. You're paying him a New York Yankee salary, Brock Lesnar. And you not once have allowed breathing room for the other company face, which would be Roman Reigns. And people assume that that's who it is, but we don't know now because people boo, they cheer, they boo, they cheer. It's funny, the baby faces now, they're not getting love at all. Bayley, Roman Reigns. The only ones that seem to be getting still love is baby faces and don't matter. Charlotte, Becky Lynch. Okay, well, my question is, why if Samoa Joe came off the fucking injured reserve list, why would you have him start losing when you know he's a strong competitor, when you know for a fact that he can put on a damn good match, not just three-star match, you know, where he does the basics and gives you a good hoorah. I'm talking about the Samoa Joe that was feared in NXT. It didn't matter if people said that they didn't believe that he could do better, you know, other than his indie stuff. But Samoa Joe without a strap, it makes no fucking sense. It makes none. Perhaps maybe you're building it to the point where Samoa Joe and Roman Reigns are supposed to feud, and eventually Roman gets a title, and eventually Samoa Joe gets the fucking strap. I don't know. I'm just guessing. It makes you wonder. It makes you wonder as a fan, why would you pussyfoot around with a guy that is very similar to AJ Styles, is very similar to Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, but he just has a different way of showing how he kicks the crap out of people. To me, I think the general audience, the casuals, will like Randy Orton. They will like Jeff Hardy. They will appreciate Matt Hardy, all the basics. But when you have a guy like Samoa Joe, who literally put Brock Lesnar to the test, and not one pay-per-view, even Brock Lesnar has been stating to the WWE, hey, I like working this guy. He actually gave me a fight. Can I work him again? Take into consideration the feelings of fans, not all the time, but you should most of the time, because we're the ones who buy the tickets. We're not the ones who pay your salaries. And I've said this multiple amounts of times. All wrestlers owe us is a good show. And if you can't give us a good show, then that reflects on how fans are going to perceive you as a whole. WrestleMania, I spent $1,451.46 to sit in a seat to see people playing beach ball during a fucking main event. Is that booking's fault? Is that management? Is that, you got to start from the ground up. So when you take a look at WrestleMania 34, from top to bottom, from the list, from top to bottom, the beginning of the card, the end of the card, what was it missing? And I will say it, Samoa Joe is not just the whole show. He could have added flavor to it. It could have added flavor if Shinsuke went over AJ Styles. It doesn't matter who goes over, though, but I'm trying to sort this out in my head. I'm trying to figure out why last night was so difficult. It was so, so difficult to get through. As a whole, as a fan, it was almost 4 hours long. It was 3 hours and 32 minutes long. Like, what are you trying to do, WrestleMania the fuck out of these pay-per-views? Like, a lot of questions of the length wasn't the issue, it was the outcomes. If you're given a card that's shit, okay, does that mean there's a card in the near future that's going to be better, like Monday Night Raw, SmackDown Live, a live show? It doesn't matter. But question is, why do you constantly beat around the bush with a guy like Samoa Joe? I mean, AJ Styles already won the title. Sami Zayn hasn't won anything. I mean, I don't know what it is. I honestly don't know what it is with Sami. He's a very hard worker like Finn Balor. Some guys, you know, it takes a couple years to finally get the push they want. I just simply care about, I mean, a good quality show. Why did we not receive one? Can someone explain that to good old B-Train and the millions of other, billions of other fans that watched the debauchery that was Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, which propelled the fans to have nothing in Newark to look forward to? If the crowd is chanting, "This is boring," they're not trying to get themselves over. They're letting you know how we felt about last, you know, between Roman and Samoa Joe. It was so boring. It was more technical than anything. They don't want a technical mumbo jumbo piece of shit, which is what that match, which is what that match was. And folks, I'm going to go more in depth detail about Wrestling Revolver on Tuesday's edition of Wrestle Radio at the new time of 2 Eastern, 1 Central. So if you didn't believe in what I told you today's, I got 3 choice words for you. Forget about it. And I got to eat. Then I got to go to work. So toodles, bitches. Look in my eyes. What do you see? The cost of something I would be. The cult of personality, the cult of personality, the cult of